Well, we finished up our Created to Create series last week, and we're kind of in a weird spot now because we've got this Sunday, and then next Sunday, and then we have, you know, Advent and Christmas and all that, and we'll be starting that in December, and I'm really looking forward to that series. But we've got a couple of weeks here where we're basically going to do a few standalone messages, just things I've been thinking about lately. Is that okay with you guys? Okay, good. Whew. I don't know. I don't know how many of you guys grew up like going to church. Probably a lot of us here. I know not everyone, but one of the things that happens in churches and for church people sometimes is we can get a little bit judgmental. Anyone? Like we know the Bible verses, we've got the scriptures, and we know the rules, and we can easily slip into judging people around us almost by default. Now, of course, I have like three or four issues I struggle with, but let's not talk about those, right? Let's talk about the 12 issues everyone else deals with, and, you know, never mind my weaknesses, failure, sin, whatever. Just, can you believe that person? Can you believe what they're doing, what they're wearing, or the decisions they're making? We probably all make these judgments about other people, and I know a lot of it's kind of harmless because it's like in our heads we form opinions about people that we meet, and because we want to keep living in society, we don't say everything that we're thinking, which is a good thing, right? Unless you want to die alone with no friends. But sometimes we have opinions, we have judgments about people, and we don't know what to do with them because we think somebody needs to address that. Like somebody needs to confront that decision, that destructive pattern, that, you know, that immoral thing, that societal evil. Somebody needs to say something. And, you know, I don't want to be judgmental, but is it really judging if I'm right? Right. I'm glad you got that. Okay, and we know that there are certain areas, there are certain arenas where, you know, it's black and white, and there are just natural consequences for things. So, for example, if I'm speeding, and I get pulled over, and the police officer gives me a ticket, I really don't get to say, like, why are you being so judgmental? You know what I mean? Because I agreed to the terms when I decided to operate a vehicle. I can't say, you know, you're just being mean to me, for example. I did hear a story, though, just last week of a guy who got pulled over and got a ticket for going 1 mile per hour over the speed limit, which would be frustrating, but anyway. Now, we kind of get confused, though, because we have these whole other areas. Relationships, beliefs, morality, decisions other people are making, and we wonder, are we supposed to say something? Are we supposed to do something? We have this internal dilemma. Like, I can't just sit around and say nothing. At the same time, we have this tape running in the back of our minds. Don't judge people. Don't you judge people. Do not judge. And maybe you've even had someone say to you, well, the Bible says, don't judge. Yeah, but I think I'm right. And, you know, it's not my problem they don't want to hear the truth. You know, it's just the truth. And I'm not judging them. I'm just speaking the truth. So, now some of us have been on the receiving end of this, haven't we? And you know what it feels like to feel judged, to be judged by someone, and it's very subtle. Someone perhaps judged you for your money or your friends or your relationship decisions or your tattoos or whatever. You were around certain people and they did that like they scanned you, right? Consider yourself judged is what you felt. You felt judged for the way you parent or the boyfriend or girlfriend you brought home, or you're out with friends and you order a beer and nobody else orders a beer and they all look at you, all of a sudden you realize I'm the only one and they're going, aha, a drinker, right? Or the opposite happens, you know, you're the only one who doesn't get one and everybody else is, and they're looking at you like, I see, one of those Christian types or whatever, and you felt judged because you didn't drink. Now, if you're not a church person, maybe you felt this from Christians, right? And maybe you're here this morning going, finally, like a church person, church people who understand what it's like, what I feel. And in fact, maybe for you, the reason that you haven't been in church for a while is because you felt so judged by Christians. And I've heard these stories and some from my own friends who wanted nothing to do with Christianity, nothing to do with the church because of how the church They felt judged by the church or someone, you know, they love, someone close to them. And probably some of us show up at a place like this and we think, I'm not sure I belong because I'm not perfect and I have these issues. And if you really knew me and what I struggle with and what's going on in my life, you know, you would condemn me, reject me, judge me, cover your ears and, you know, scream unclean or whatever it is you do to judge. And so that's some of us here, I'm sure. You know, one of the frustrating things about being judged is you don't get to present your case. You don't get to say, hold on, I saw that look. I saw that look you gave me, and let me explain, right? You don't get to say, whoa, there's a story here. Let me give you the context for this because I think it'll make more sense if I give you the whole picture. If you knew everything about me, then you'd cut me some slack. I saw online this week where, I know nothing about the NBA, so this is going to make me look stupid probably, but the Memphis Grizzlies beat Houston this week, and apparently Justin Timberlake tweeted Grizzlies to show his support, you know, for the team, and somebody else replied to that tweet and basically replied and said bandwagon. So they're judging Justin Timberlake for being like a bandwagon fan. Anybody else see this? Yeah, a few of you, which you know what's coming. So JT tweeted, you can't see it very well, but he responded back, I'm from Memphis, and I'm an owner of the team. Anyone else? Yeah. And you can look up what wig snatch means in your free time. Usually, though, when you're judged like that, you don't get the opportunity for vindication quite like this. You feel a little more, we feel a little more helpless, a little more defenseless when this happens. But one thing's for sure. When someone judges you, you never respond, you know what? You have made me feel so small and so inferior. I think I'll change. I think I'll become more like you. See, judging me doesn't change me. It doesn't make me want to be a better person. It definitely doesn't want to make me be like you. It makes me want to run in the opposite direction. And the truth is, we've all been in both places, haven't we? We've been judged, and we've been the ones with the opinion. We've been the ones judging someone else. Most of the time, though, we just look at the other person, and we talk to our friends, and we say, can you believe, and pass the word, you know, prayer request, and that kind of thing. Now, here's why this is so important, and Scripture, we'll see, addresses this confusion we have. We've all heard, don't judge. At the same time, there are people who need to be confronted, at least I think. And so how we do that, these questions of if and when and how are really, really important. Because we've all seen how incredibly destructive this dynamic can be in our relationships, right? Some of us have strained relationships because of this. Awkward sort of family interactions because of this very thing. And especially for those of us who call ourselves Christians. If we don't get this right, if the church doesn't get this right, there are people in our society, people you know, whole groups of people who feel ostracized, rejected by the church, and by golly, we have the verses to prove that we are right. But again, when you judge someone, they do not move in your direction. Whenever we tell someone, you need to change, you need to straighten up, what's the matter with you? People tend to run in the opposite direction if that's the message. By the way, just like you do, right? Just like I do when I'm being judged by a person or group or whatever. Now, Jesus talks about this very thing. And like a lot of things that Jesus teaches, he goes about it in a way that maybe we don't expect. And I want to give credit here to a preacher named Andy Stanley for many of his observations on this passage. But this is one of those areas that I'm pretty convinced that for all of the ways that we love to say, well, I follow Jesus and what he's teaching. I just do what he says, and that's kind of my thing. For all of the ways that we do that, this is one of those bizarre areas where I'm not sure that we actually take what Jesus says very seriously. And he couldn't be more clear. We can't even say, well, this is like a vague, nebulous sort of thing. It's very, very clear. Matthew chapter 7. If you have a Bible, I invite you to turn there with me. Page 884, if you have one of our Bibles here. Matthew chapter 7, we'll start in verse 1. Jesus says, do not judge. Okay, so this does come from the Bible, apparently. actually from Jesus. Now, just to pause here, though, do not judge who? Like other people in general, other, you know, church, Christian people, people outside the church. Do not judge who? He doesn't say. He doesn't give us a specific answer. He just says, do not judge, or you too will be judged. And he really doesn't even say by who. Could be the people that we're judging. It could be, I suspect in a minute you'll see, God. But he doesn't say specifically. And then he goes on in verse 2, for in the same way you judge others, you will be judged. And with the measure you use, it will be measured to you. And he's using kind of that metaphor of like scales with weights you put on one side to balance out the other side. He said, whatever measure you use, whatever weight you use in judging someone else, that will be measured to you. In other words, those of us who set ourselves up as judge over other people can count on that coming back around on us. And I suspect he's talking about God here. There's other places where Jesus is talking about forgiveness, and he says the way that you forgive other people, like the forgiveness you extend is the forgiveness you can count on receiving from God. See, I kind of imagine this whole judgment, God judging us. I kind of imagine God holding up like the Ten Commandments or something like that and saying, you know, well, you failed there and there's a discrepancy and you messed up over there. To which we could say, whoa, 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 that wasn't my thing. That was your thing, God. That was your idea. I never agreed to that. That was like your whole deal. To which God could say, okay, that's fair. How about we just go with the standard that you've used then? We'll just judge you according to how you've judged other people. That'd be fair, right? Yeah. But can we go back to the commandments? Let's go back to the other thing, because that maybe I'll do better there. See, I know the pushback is this. You know, what they're doing isn't right. And someone needs to talk to them because they're messing up. And what about the consequences of their actions? Now, Jesus is not saying that what they're doing is right. He's not saying you shouldn't talk to him or her. He's not saying everything's fine, just everybody do whatever you want. As long as nobody judges each other, then there won't be any consequences. And we'll see this a lot better here in just a minute. But before we get to that, this is a radical idea that Jesus is suggesting. That the way that we judge other people, that we do that the way we want them to judge us. The way we want God to judge us. That's a pretty profound thought, is it not? And for, again, for all of our claims to follow Jesus, that's like, wow, he really does say that. And in fact, one of the reasons I'm convinced Jesus said this, these are his words, is because this is precisely the kind of thing that most people, especially most religious people, wouldn't come up with. But it raises an important question. How do we want other people? More importantly, how do we want God to judge us? Now, here's what I know about you. You want other people in judging you to take everything into account. Is that right? You want people to not just look at your actions. You want other people to judge you based on your intentions. But we have this weird double standard then, because when it comes to us judging other people, we don't care what their intentions were. We judge them based on their actions, right? Like, why are you late? Why'd you forget this? What's your problem? But when it's us and the tables are turned, it's like, yeah, but there was a train and, you know, I got held up at the office and, you know, I meant to do that. Please understand. See, we tend to make value judgments based on people's actions. And we would rather people judge us with the whole picture, our intentions and everything that was included. And with God, I mean, I want God in judging me to factor in everything. I want him to take into consideration the bad thing that happened to me when I was a kid that kind of pushed me away from God or the church, and I had this whole period of my life where I ignored God, and I want him to factor in my personality weaknesses and stuff my mom didn't give me and insecurities. I want him to take everything and the friends that I had that were a bad influence, and that's why I got into these things. I want him to take all of those things into account in judging me. Don't you guys? I mean, if you let me talk long enough, Jesus is going to come put his arm around me and say, poor Matt, you know, no wonder you're such an idiot, you know, I mean, you never even had a chance, right? And if I talk long enough, I mean, maybe he'd even say, wow, with what you were given, it's kind of amazing you're as good as you are. Welcome into the kingdom. That's what I want. Isn't that how you want to be judged? I want tons of slack. And for the people who judge me, I want them to say, oh, okay, he's screwed up, but maybe there's a bigger picture. Maybe there's some things that we're not seeing. We only have part of the picture, and I'm sure there's more to it than what we're seeing. Let's not be too hard on him. We don't know the whole story. That's how I want to be judged. And God goes, okay, that's fair. That's how I'll judge you. And I know everything. And Jesus is saying, you know how you want to be judged, so do the same for others. And then the next verse, verse 3, why do you look at the speck of sawdust in your brother's eye? And before we go on, I think we should just pause here on this question he asks. Why do we look at the speck of sawdust in someone else's eye? Why do we care so much? And that phrase, speck of sawdust, is just a symbolic way of saying, you know what, that person has a problem. That person does have an issue. Oh, we like that, don't we? So we're not completely wrong then. Aha, there it is. They do have an issue that needs to be addressed. That's my whole point, Jesus. I'm glad that we agree on this. But we don't stop and ask the question, why do we care? What is in us that makes us feel like we have to form an opinion about someone else and make a value judgment based on what someone else is doing? And Jesus says, before we talk about them, and we'll get there, this is first about you. What's in you? Not them. What's in you that you feel the overwhelming need to point out the speck in their eye? In other words, what does their sin, what does what they're doing or that you disagree with, that thing that gets under your skin, why does that make you feel the way you feel? Maybe, he's saying, maybe there's more to it than just their problem. Maybe there's something else going on. In the middle of verse 3, why do you look at the speck of sawdust in your brother's eye and pay no attention to the plank in your own eye? Why are you so focused on their problems and not your own? Well, that's really easy to answer, isn't it? What problem? I don't have any problems. Look at them. They have problems. And I'm so insightful, and my heart is so pure, and I'm able to see problems they can't even see. And Jesus says, no. Hold on. Why are you so interested in the sawdust in their eye? He says to you, he says to me, when you ignore, when you refuse to deal with the plank in your own eye. And here's what he's essentially getting at, and this is huge. When I see something in you that bothers me, I actually need to look in the mirror. I need to quit looking at you. When I see something in you that causes me to go down the road of judging you and writing you off and forming an opinion about you and gossiping about you, as soon as I feel that impulse, a little light should go off in my head. Huh. I wonder what God wants to deal with in my life. What is it about them that reflects back on me and what I need to deal with myself? And in verse 4, how can you say to your brother, let me take the speck out of your eye, when all the time there's a plank in your own eye? See, if your response to this is, wait a minute, I don't have a plank, they have a major problem. They're doing something immoral. They are on the path of self-destruction. In those moments when you are so sure that the problem is all theirs, when that self-righteousness rises up inside of us, you know the feeling? And we can quote all the verses. Jesus says, in that moment, I want you to pause. Because whatever you see in them is probably a reflection of something in you. I told you we don't really believe this, do we? We know he said it, but we don't actually believe that. We don't have a place for this. And even me saying this now, I know there are people here thinking, whoa, 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 hold on. Are you asking me to just ignore all the bad stuff in the world? All the unrighteousness I see in society or the people around me? Am I supposed to just look at people I love who are doing destructive things and just say, well, I guess it's all about me then. It's my fault and I'll forget it. That's not where this is going. Again, back to what Jesus said. Our response to the concerns, to the issues we see in other people, our first response, Jesus teaches, is not to be to go after the speck in their eye, but to immediately turn and look in the mirror. What is it about them that's reflected in my life? See, if that could become our first response, we would actually be better off. And as Jesus says here in a minute, they would be better off as well. And then the last verse, verse 5. You hypocrite, first take the plank out of your own eye, And then you will see clearly to remove the speck from your brother's eye. You hypocrite. And do you know what a hypocrite is in this context? A hypocrite is a person who judges someone else without first looking in the mirror. And that's it. And Jesus says, I'm not denying that there's a problem. I'm not saying there's not an issue that needs to be addressed. I'm not even disagreeing. I'm saying your first response needs to be to look in the mirror as opposed to reaching toward someone else. Again, Jesus said this. I would not have said something like this. I wouldn't have said it. And he says, if you're not willing to do this, if you're too self-righteous to do this, if you're too confident of your own position, if you're too insecure, then Jesus says, not me, you're a hypocrite. Question, do you think that there is a small number or a large number of people in our culture who've written the church off as basically hypocrites? Small or large? Large, the very large number. Why? Because they've seen an unwillingness on our part to deal with the plank in our own eye. And we justify our behavior by saying, yeah, but God doesn't approve of that lifestyle, that behavior. And we may be exactly right. But because we won't first look in the mirror, nobody cares what we have to say. Nobody wants to hear what we think. I want you to think about a time in your life when you messed something up. You were caught perhaps in an addiction, a bad habit. It was an area of your life where you could not overcome temptation. It was a time when you knew you weren't like the best at your best. You knew that, you know, as a worker, as a husband, wife, as a parent, as a child, as a Jesus follower, you were well aware of the fact that you weren't perfect. Can you think of a time like that? Some of you are going, like now? Okay, now. That would be an okay time. Let's pick exactly right now in this moment. There's something about recognizing that truth. There's something about seeing ourselves and who we really are that enables us to empathize with other people, doesn't it? Enables us, it puts us in a different posture. It gives us empathy. It gives us compassion. See, that's what we need. But see, coming at me and telling me there's something in my eye when, to tell you the truth, I can see things that are far worse in you, or I can see things in myself that are far worse than what you're pointing out. It doesn't help me. It drives me deeper into my behavior. And so in your attempt to confront me or address the issue, it actually makes my situation worse because I can't listen. I can't listen to you because it seems like you lack the same self-awareness that you're accusing me of. Have you guys ever been in a situation where in a conflict and it escalates and somebody, you know, with a friend, a spouse, a child, you know, a coworker, whatever, and it escalates to the point where somebody says, have you seen yourself lately? Anybody ever, that phrase? Have you looked in a mirror lately? If nothing else, I think we should consider doing what Jesus says here, because we've tried our way like 1,000 times and it doesn't work. It doesn't change people. Never in history have somebody felt judged by someone else and gone, all right, I'm ready to change. I want to be more like you. That's never happened. I realize not everyone's married here or even aspires to that or whatever, but I am. And talk about a prime place to practice every day or to learn this the hard way. I mean, those of you who are married, imagine going to your spouse and saying, you know, why are you always fill in the blank? And when are you finally going to learn? And how many times do I have to tell you fill in the blank? Is that received well ever? No. It is not. On the other hand, now put yourself in this position. I want you to be on the receiving end of a different kind of approach and pay attention to what you feel emotionally. You know, look, and this could be a friend or coworker or whatever. This is a really small thing, and I got to be the first, before I even say anything, I just want you to know, like, I've done far worse than this. Like, I am, like, offender number one when it comes to this. Like, I got, you know, all this stuff. But I just want to bring this up to like honor the relationship and out of respect for you. And again, you see what I'm saying? To kind of suggest that maybe you're not perfect when you offer this advice or correction or whatever you're bringing to the person. And again, it might still be a little bit tense and awkward. But don't you feel like with that second approach, if somebody comes to you in humility, aware of their own weaknesses, aware of their own failings, don't you feel a little bit more open to receive that or to at least have a conversation? It's exactly what Jesus is saying. I think the genius of it, of this teaching, is this. When something in you drives me crazy, the problem may be that I have something in my eye, and I can't really help you until I do something about that first. And Jesus says, okay, do you really care about that speck in that other person? Oh, yeah. Do you think that thing needs to be addressed, that somebody should say something? Definitely. You think that person, it's hurting themselves or society, or they're on a path of self-destruction and something needs to be done? Yes. Okay. First, I'm listening. What do I do? Call them? No. Write them? No. You want me to confront them? No. You want me to gossip about them? Nope. Okay, what's first? Jesus says, look in the mirror. Okay, what good is that going to do? Because they're the one with the problem. I know, I want to help them. I want to help them, but I need somebody who's prepared to help them. I'm ready. Put me in. I'm ready to help this person. Okay, look in the mirror. But I'm not the one with the problem that you're aware of. And see, when we look in the mirror, we realize that what's driving me crazy about them is actually part of what's in me. That's a profound thought that Jesus gives us here. When I'm tempted to pass judgment on you, I need to stop and look, is there a trace of that same thing in me? And here's how you find the trace. You want to find the key? You find the trace by paying attention to that emotion. What emotion does that behavior, that sin, that failure, whatever it is in them, what emotion does that elicit in you? What does that bring up, drag up? Their speck of sawdust, what does that drag up in you? Does it make you angry? Well, that could be part of your issue, right? That's your issue, not theirs. Do you ever know somebody who they're worked up about an issue like this, and like a husband-wife, let's say, and the husband's really worked up, and the wife's just like, yeah, I mean, I see, but I'm not, like, and the husband's trying to get the wife to, like, have the same frustration and the same energy and kind of ratcheting it up, and the other person's not doing it, there's a big clue what your issue is. And it's A, anger, and perhaps something deeper than that. Pay attention to what that emotion is. By the way, the only sin that made Jesus angry, do you know what it was? Self-righteousness in other people. And I'm not sure that can make us as angry as it made Jesus, or at least for me personally, because I've got a lot of that in me. Does whatever it is they're doing, does it make you jealous? That's an important, when you get worked up, I can't believe they're living like this and they're doing that and they're calling themselves Christians. What is that emotion? It could be jealousy, could be anger, whatever it is. But until you deal with that, you're not in a position to help. And your judgment, by the way, may be right. You may be exactly right. Parents with your kids, you could be, in fact, parents, you're probably exactly right about what you see in your kids. But the approach may be exactly wrong. You're not wrong about the insight into the speck. But we're not willing to deal first with the log in our own eye, we drive them further into the behavior. So we look first in the mirror to find a trace of that thing in us. And the reason Jesus says first is because, why does he say there's a first? There's a second. There's a second part of this. He says, after that, you'll be able to see clearly to remove the speck of dust. And because you've come face to face with the mercy that you have received from God, because you're really, really in touch with what God has done for you, what he's forgiven you of, where he's shown you his grace again and again and again, you'll be able to come to that person in a way, hopefully, with a whole lot more humility and grace, and hopefully in a way that doesn't push them further away. And there's one other part of this. Maybe you're here and you're the person who feels judged, and you've been kind of thrown out, don't judge me. Please don't judge. The Bible says, do not judge. I just want you to maybe consider the fact that there's a new category here, just to take a breath long enough to realize that maybe that person who wrote you that letter, maybe the person who's trying to have that conversation with you or trying to have that long lunch meeting with you, maybe it's possible that one of these people who've seen sawdust in your eye and they've approached you about it is not coming because they're judgmental. They're not coming to judge you. They're coming there because they've been in the exact same spot as you are, which means they can see where you're headed, what's ahead for you. And they love you too much to leave you alone. So I just want to ask, is it possible that someone like that is in your life? And I'm just saying, if you keep throwing up the smokescreen, don't judge, don't judge, you're never going to be open to the way that God wants you to grow and to move forward. You'll never benefit from that. You got your shields up, and you're not going to see the truth that God has for you to see. And so there's something in this passage for each one of us. If you're the person who's on the run, you kind of know that, don't you? Don't we, at some level, we know that we're messing things up and that this isn't really working for us. We have that sense. And if that's you, I just want you to be honest enough with yourself to be open to the fact that God, who loves you, may send someone into your life to speak that word to you, to point out that sawdust so that you can see more clearly. And if you're here and you're the person who's generally right all the time, and you've got the scriptures and you've got your airtight arguments and you can argue with the best of them, would you, when you're tempted to judge someone else, and again, does that ever work out? No, it doesn't. In those moments, would you just stop and say, boy, why is there so much energy around this for me? Would you ask what that emotion is? Because maybe, just maybe, God's given you an opportunity to see something that he wants to work on in your life. That thing that you get so mad about in other people, maybe God sees that and he sees that in you. So would you be open to that possibility? Saying, God, I want to see myself clearly. Would you pray with me? Heavenly Father, Lord, first of all, I just pray that you would help each one of us to be in a new way, just to be in touch with the grace that we've received, the forgiveness that we've received from you. Lord, that you just day upon day extend your mercy to us. Lord, as we receive that, I just pray that that would just inform our approach to other people, that would be the kind of thing that just gives us humility and compassion in our words, in our tone, to every person we interact with. Lord, in these moments when we feel tempted to judge other people, Lord, help us to pause long enough to ask the question, are you trying to say something to us? Is there an area, part of that, a partial piece of that or whatever that we need to work on ourselves? Help us to be open to that. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.